day in the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Two trailer park girls go round the outside, round the outside, round the outside. Two trailer park girls go round the outside, round the outside, round the outside.
If there wasn't a price difference in the other things, I had every intention to go in with you tonight. But I can't lose $7.5 million. I can't say, I'll look like the stupidest politician on earth. The headlines will be, Board of County Commissioner gives up $7.5 million. They're not gonna say the jobs because we don't know them. And I can only go by what I have here as a proposal tonight.
County Commission Chairman, representative from District 2, that's the Southwest, Mike Kohler, last night talking during the conversation about OLF 8 at the County Commission meeting. I know it can be hard to keep track of these various players, but in this case, you had Beulah Ranch, which was the late one. That was kind of, and I'm going to give them first just because they'd been presenting first typically. They were the one that was at $30 million, and then they raised to $40 million, and then they came in with an offer yesterday at $45 million. That's a local guy. Then you had, many of them have local people involved or, you know, have, so don't say that as a favor, just he happens to be. The second one that's been working on this for a couple of years, Fred Hemmer, they were the ones who had been, you know, want the whole property. All right, we'll take half the property. All right, we'll back to half hold the property. Like, they have been the ones that, in my opinion, commissioners, particularly Stephen Barry and Jeff Bergosh, when he had the power, they were slow rolling him and Chinese inspectioning him. And for political reasons, they didn't like him and, you know, weren't going to do a deal with him. But he had come in at 40, I forget the original, maybe it was 42.5, raised it to 43.5, and then raised it to 50 late yesterday, like during the public forum. And then the other one, the one that Stephen Barry had so clearly favored for quite some time, the Tri-W group, Chad Henderson's group, they had been at 41.5 and raised it to 42.5, something like that. And then that's where they were last night. So the problem with the delta there is 50 versus 42.5, $7.5 million. Mike Kohler says, I can't vote to give away $7.5 million. I'd get blown out at the next election, right? And rightly so. Lumen May, who has always said price was a big concern for him, but is always wanting to be deferential to his good buddy Stephen Barry, says, what do you want to do, Steve?
Again, you know, I'm gonna yield to you guys and try not to be here to midnight.
I don't know that anybody's yielding to my opinion, which is fine. But let's try to negotiate with somebody and see how it goes.
Commissioner Stroberger, you had your light on.
Nobody's listening to me. I mean, last time I put a proposal out there, it died for lack of a second. The last meeting. Oh, poor kid. He was running the county for 12 years, and now, you know, what was his expression?
I don't know that anybody's yielding to my opinion.
That makes me laugh. But actually, I mean, he flexed a little later in a good way. Like, he was willing to adapt a little bit later. We'll get to that in a second. Steve Stroberger, the new commissioner for District 1, that's the district in which OLF 8 lies. That's, you know, formerly Jeff Bergosh's district. He says, I'm ready to go. Let's do it.
I move that we direct county staff to begin negotiations with the Beulah Town Center LLC for the 540 acres of OLF 8. I'd also like to use the DPZ master plan as a restrictive deed.
Let's do it. $50 million. Let's go. Yeah, he had wanted to do that before, so they took a vote and...
The motion fails.
Oh, no.
Can I make a motion?
Do you have a second motion? Or do you want... Motion fails 2-3.
Mike Kohler and Steve Stroberger voted yes. Lumen May, Stephen Barry, and Ashley Hoffberger voted no. In what I can only describe as the most baffling vote of the night. I'll explain in just a minute because it'll make sense why it's weird. But $50 million, Lumen May said no. And then says...
So I don't know how it falls, but for me, I can't support it. And I've told them that.
I can't either.
I can't vote against...
This is talking about the Henderson Group offer at 42.5. So he just voted no to 50. And now he's saying, 42.5 is too low. I can't vote for that.
$50 million for somebody else and do that. That's going to be a tough vote for me.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, that's fine.
I second the motion.
Well, that's just voting no for everything. So I'm not sure what Lumen, I do not know why he voted no for the $50 million for Fred Hemmer. It literally makes no sense to me because it was a massive payout. And he said in the next conversation, I can't vote for the lower amount. Well, those are all the offers. They're not going to vote for the 45 for the Beulah Ranch. That they've clearly indicated they don't want to go with Ryan, okay? Which is, you know, their choice, okay? So they've got this proposal for 42.5. Ashley Hofberger moves for that. And then there's conversation. And the conversation is they don't seem to be willing to do that one. So will Chad Henderson raise his offer price from 42.5? Well, you know, will he engage in a little bit of auctioneering here from the podium?
Raise my price through a negotiation with the county. I mean, I told you I had gas in the tank, but I want to do it holistically with a purchase and sale agreement that I feel good about executing on.
But he doesn't want to go above 50 and basically, or to even 250, it seemed. And, you know, Mike Kohler is kind of begging him, come on, man, do us a favor.
Can you give us a dollar on that? That would be very helpful.
Can you negotiate the 50 million, Chad?
It'd make our life easier, Chad.
I'm sorry?
It'd make our life easier. I think we could get to the finish line, maybe.
I love it. If you could just give us $7.5 million, that would make our life easier. I bet. I bet he's thinking. I bet it would, okay? So he says, look, we can't offer that, but I'm willing to talk.
I realize that there is an offer at $50 million and $45, and I can tell you that I will be competitive with those offers. With those offers to a negotiation of understanding the entire aspect of a purchase and sales agreement. So, Mr. May, I will go up in the range of higher than I'm at now, but I'm not going to go higher than 50 million.
What can you get to? I want to get to a deal.
Can we get you to bump up your offer? And then former Mayor Ashton Hayward, who's working with Chad Henderson, I think at this point has just had enough.
Mr. Chair, so what you're telling the citizens right now of Escambia County is that you're voting on price, correct? Not most qualified. Price?
I don't.
That's what you're saying. You're saying that you're voting on price.
Mayor Hayward.
Not qualifications.
No. You're saying that the other party's not qualified, and I think you're both qualified, so I would disagree with that statement.
Well, how else can you interpret it if you're unwilling to take 50 from A, but you're considering taking 42.5 from B, except that you think one is much more qualified than the other? That's the only interpretation you could realistically have, and Mayor Hayward is just putting it out on the table. Obviously, if you said no to 50, it's because you don't think they can do the work. Because if you thought they could do the work, you would have voted yes at the 50. So you must think they're unqualified in some manner. But then kind of a little bit of bickering with Mike Kohler. And then Chad Henderson, they go in, they're kind of huddling while the commissioners are talking. And all of a sudden, that's it. It's all over.
Well, we had a motion in a second.
What was the number, Chad? He never left Ashley with a number.
Okay, we'll give him a second. They're in conversation.
I mean, should we be giving Beulah Town Center to go back up there and ask for?
We're going to rescind our offer at this time, and move forward with the other party. And if that doesn't work out, then we'll understand. But we are rescinding our offer. Thank you.
Thank you, Chan. Sorry about that.
We are out.
Does the board want to reconsider the other offer?
And they picked up their post-it notes and left. They just zip out. We're gone. You guys clearly don't know what the bleep you're doing. You know, you just can't figure out what you're doing. None of you has ever read Robert's Rules of Order, or so it seems. We're not going to play anymore. So what happened after that is very interesting. We'll get to it in just a second. John Pickens has got traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. Brought to you by Knox Pest Control. Their family serving your family since 1929. For information on a free pest or termite quote, you can visit knoxpest.com. Knocks them out. No accidents to let you know about right now. Looks like I-10, I-110 are flowing smoothly. Only delays I'm seeing are at the intersection of Highway 29 and 9 Mile. If you're going northbound on Highway 29, you're going to see some delays just due to congestion. Other than that, traffic looks good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. So, again, I know it's hard to track all these players, but the guy who's offering 45 is really getting no consideration whatsoever. The team that offered 50... Beulah Town Center, they said no, and then immediately Lumen May said no was really the key vote. They would have approved that 3-2 if he'd have swung the other way, but he said no, and then all of a sudden, but I can't vote for anybody other than at 50 million, so I don't know what that vote means. And then in the process of trying to encourage Team C to bump up their offer, you know, on the spot, you know, hey, can't you just put up another $5, $6, $8 million? Why not? It's only money. They said, yeah, we're done. We're out. We're not playing this anymore. So they leave. They leave. And then all of a sudden, Stephen Berry says, you know what? I don't hate anybody. I like everybody. We can all get along. It's all fine. We don't want to let all this slip through our fingers, because I think the vision in most of these commissioners' heads at that moment was like, oh, my God, we're going to lose everything. We're not going to have any offers. We got up to 50, and we couldn't be satisfied, so we're going to lose it. I mean, maybe Ryan's still around, but you know, we clearly don't want to work with him for reasons that nobody's explained. But anyway, here's what he said.
And, you know, I like Will, I like Fred, I like Brian, I like Chad Horn. You know, there's not an issue with any of that personally. I had a lot of confidence in a couple of the projects from the other group, but that's off the table now. So, you know, I could.
Well,
there's value in a collegial spirit, and we can give it a shot.
Okay, Commissioner Berry, I just want to say, and we're in discussion right now. I could have went with TriWest in a heartbeat if they would have just moved a little bit, but they obviously left the room. So I appreciate you. Let's try one more time.
And they voted, and they went back to Fred Hemmer for $50 million for five zero vote. 30 days of negotiation, done. Now, why they didn't vote that way in the first place? Oh, because they were stuck on the, you know, Henderson group for reasons that I can't quite explain. And no, I mean, no knock to any of these three, I think, could do a good job. I think it really is kind of a matter of they got caught up in what their own personal desires were. I think some of the personal animus against Fred Hemmer for the history. And by the way, somebody texted me that his first offer on this property was 2018. Good Lord, is that true? I have him in my head as only like a couple of years into this. 7 years? Whew, more patient man than I. Anyway, so they went back to the $50 million for Fred Hemmer, and they approved it, and they're negotiating. Now, there's a couple of things worth knowing about this. Number one, we have been to this point before. We've been engaged before. Okay, and we still never got married. And there's not a single piece of infrastructure or building on that property. Still, to this day. Okay? Like some other speculative development projects in the area. Anyway, but they're trying real hard, okay? And maybe this works. I mean, if anybody's going to get this across the finish line, I think Fred Hemmer, because of the patience and the adaptability that they've shown. But we've been engaged before, and we've never got married. Number two. The proposal is to buy the whole thing. If you buy the whole thing, then there's nothing left in public ownership. And if there's nothing in public ownership, then there's no land on which Triumph Gulf Coast can give you money, $14 million, to build, for example, a big road, because they can't give to private developers. And so what's going to happen there? Well, I think they'll negotiate this in the conversation. At least I hope. I know it's a big time. I'm not telling anybody anything that not everybody already knows. So we'll see. And I think at this point, though I want to be optimistic, honestly, I mean, at this point, I think I'm about a 40%. It's got about a 40% chance of success. So maybe. At least they didn't not make a decision. So good for that. that's yay. That's a good step. 722 News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. If you need to shop for that next vehicle, go to Frontier Motors, a great selection of good quality used cars. 10, 20, 30, maybe 50,000 miles, a couple of years old, but A-quality cars, cars that you can trust, they can trust, and that they'll warranty to 10 years or 100,000 miles because they know they're going to be good for you. That's what it's not a new car, but it's kind of like a new car. It's like one owner, and it's going to be in great condition. 300 different cars, trucks, vans, SUVs, sports cars on the lot. You can shop as many as you like. You can drive as many as you like. You can ask your questions. You can talk to them, and you'll find something. And if they don't have it, send them looking. They go looking for people for cars all the time. No problem. They're buying cars all the time. They go looking for people all the time. Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years. Behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi.
Here's today's Strength for Life.
As Christians, we make much of Jesus' efficacious death through crucifixion, and we make much of his resurrection from the grave, and we should. However, a major moment in the life of Christ that's often overlooked is his ascension. After all, Christ's ascension is his coronation, his exaltation, his enthronement. It signifies mission accomplished and job well done. At his ascension, Jesus is once again seated at the right hand of God the Father, and his enemies become his footstool. On the day that Jesus ascended, two prophets promises were made. Jesus promised that the Holy Spirit would come, and indeed he did powerfully in Acts chapter 2. Secondly, one of the angels promised that Jesus would return in the same way that he was received up into heaven. The ascension is important because it is a reminder that Jesus is coming again. And as Christians, we say with John the Revelator, "Even so, Lord Jesus, come quickly."
For more Strength for Life, please visit our website, strengthforlife.church.
Visit Pensacola is home for all things Pensacola. I'm Darren Schaefer, CEO of Visit Pensacola. Join us on the Pensacola Expert Panel this week as we discuss what is next for our community.
We'll have a look at all the fun things to do in Pensacola in the new year, including Pensacola Mardi Gras, SBC basketball, and so much more.
Today at 9, let us show you the way to beach on News Radio 92.3.
Hi. My name is Michael Dylan Thompson, candidate for Congress here in my home district. I'm proud to be the only candidate who voters petitioned to be on the ballot. Every other candidate paid over $10,000 to qualify, often using either lobbyist or special interest money. As a born and raised Pensacola native, I will fight for my district. I will fix the insurance crisis created by establishment politicians, and I will protect our brave service members who keep America free. We don't need outsiders bringing Washington, D.C. corruption into Northwest Florida. We need new ideas and fresh leadership to fight for us. As your congressman, I pledge to always put Florida first. There's a critical election on January 28th, and I need your vote. This is our chance to take back our voice and send a clear message to the career politicians. We won't let special interests decide our future. Together, we can restore accountability, protect our values, and secure a stronger future for Northwest Florida. I'm Michael Dylan Thompson, and I'm proud to approve this message.
Paid for by Michael Dylan Thompson for Congress, Republican.
Guy Benson, keeping you informed of the news every day at 2, right after Mark Levenkamp and Robbins on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Put them in the Iron Maiden.
Iron Maiden? Excellent!
Execute them. Bogus.
Oh, it's somebody. somebody said, you know, if Fred Hemmer had been a little bit quicker on the draw, what he would have done is he would have lowered his offer, because his main competitor just, you know, rushed out of the room, and he could have said, "Oh, cool, cool. I'll tell you what, guys, I'll reduce my offer to 46. That puts me $1 million over the only guy left in contention. It saves me $4 million. You ready to go?" But he didn't. I mean, probably out of goodwill, but that's awful expensive goodwill. 727 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David? Oh, sorry, traffic on the five. David, you have to wait. John Pickens has traffic for us.
That's right. No accidents to let you know about right now. Seeing some slowdowns again at the intersection of 9 Mile and Highway 29 if you're going northbound and southbound on 29. Other than that, traffic looks good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. Now, David, you may talk, sir.
Well, thank you very much, Andrew. And it's tough to find any news not relating to everything going on in Los Angeles right now. The death toll from the wildfires is now up to 10. The Los Angeles County Medical Examiner said last night that the fire-related death toll had risen from 5 to 10, but they didn't offer a whole lot of details on that.
On NBC this morning, I saw they were doing a report on this, and it was the weirdest thing. There was one of the reporters was on the scene of a road where all the cars had gotten stalled and abandoned. You know, people had to run basically for their lives from the fire, and a bulldozer had come through and created a lane in the middle of the cars. It was about maybe 20 feet wide, pushing all the cars to one side, and, you know, in order to get the firefighters through. One side of row of cars completely burned to a crisp, charred and ashy. The other side completely untouched because the fire couldn't jump what the bulldozer had created as the brake line.
Wow.
And the metal on the cars had been melting like molten metal running down the street. It was so hot on that side of the road. Just crazy stuff.
That is crazy. Well, you know, you're not much older than me, but you're a little older. Have you seen?
I'm old.
Have you seen anything like this before?
So I was thinking about that. California has fires all the time, every year. There's always fires in California and Oregon and Washington. Remember in Canada a couple of years ago, all the smoke that was coming over the border? There's always fires, but they're not normally in residential areas. That's the weird part is being, I mean, and even that, there are often homes destroyed. but hundreds of homes and people being killed.
At this scale.
Yeah, this scale, I've never seen anything like this.
Yeah, because, I mean, same thing. I was thinking about it as well. We see the stories all the time. There's wildfires, this many thousands of acres, but never seen this kind of apocalyptic.
There's tropical storms all the time. It's not very often that a Cat 5 comes through, and that's what this is, a Cat 5 fires, basically.
Absolutely. Another story out of Los Angeles, 10 million Los Angeles residents received evacuation orders by mistake yesterday. Officials say an evacuation order was supposed to go out to West Hills residents near the Kenneth Fire, but instead it got sent to people all over Los Angeles. They're working on an investigation into how that happened. And today the Supreme Court is deciding the future of TikTok. The High Court will hear arguments over an impending ban of the social media platform. Of course, the new law requires it to either be sold or move out of the U.S.
Wait, did you say the Supreme Court is hearing oral arguments today? Oh, I see they've added it. Okay, yeah. You're exactly right. They are going to hear that. That's interesting. That's a Friday oral arguments is very weird for the Supreme Court. That's why I was kind of surprised by that. So. They're normally Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday.
Yeah, who wants to work on a Friday?
Well, not me, obviously. Oh, speaking of that, if you're interested in the congressional race, the Women for Responsible Legislation is hosting a forum at 10:30 at the Spring Street Library downtown here in Pensacola.
News. I'm CJ Pop of the virtual sentencing for President-elect Trump, who stands to become the first convicted felon to enter the White House.
He will not face any jail time, but he will likely get a mouthful from Judge Juan Merchan. This after the Supreme Court gave this sentencing the green light last night. Four conservative justices, not including Trump appointee Amy Coney Barrett, said they would have granted a stay to delay the sentencing until after he leaves office.
Fox's Eric Shawn outside the Manhattan courthouse. It all begins at 9:30 a.m. Eastern. At least 10 deaths from the firestorm in Southern California. Fox's Bill Malusian in Pacific Palisades.
The destruction is just jaw-dropping. Every single house on this street is destroyed on both sides of the street. And every single street we've passed by looks like this.
Those howling winds, much calmer this morning. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 7:31 at News Radio 92.3 right now, 46 degrees. We've got cloudy skies. It is windy right now as well. We are down to negotiating with a single developer for the OLF 8 property in Beulah. The Escambia Board of Commissioners narrowing that down to Fred Hemmer's Beulah Town Center LLC last night. But getting there was a bit of a wild ride. Before the meeting, Beulah Town Center had increased their offer up to $50 million for the 540-acre property. Initially, the board declined that offer and attempted to get a bigger offer from competing developer Tri-W, run by Chad Henderson and former Pensacola Mayor Ashton Hayward, who were currently offering $42.5 million.
I will go up in a range of higher than I'm at now, but I'm not going to go higher than $50 million.
What can you get to? I want to get to a deal tonight.
Mr. Chair, so what you're telling the citizens right now of Escambia County is that you're voting on price, correct? Not most qualified. Price?
I don't.
That's what you're saying. You're saying that you're voting on price.
Mayor Hayward.
Not qualifications.
No.
Commissioner Kohler argued all three developers were qualified. Shortly after that exchange, Tri-W rescinded their offer entirely. The board then went back to the $50 million offer from Beulah Town Center. They did approve moving forward with negotiations with them using that DPZ master plan as a restrictive deed. Well, there was a bit of a security scare yesterday at Pine Forest High School. A couple of incidents combined to result in a lockdown. Officials say that a social media threat was made against the school. Then five students apparently bypassed some type of security checkpoint to get in the school building. That caused the building to go into lockdown. Just out of an abundance of caution, the five students that skipped the security checkpoint were found. An investigation into the incident is underway, and they're all back to normal operations today. Well, more Portland Loos are coming to Pensacola. The city installed the first Portland Loo at Bruce Beach in 2024. Now they're looking to install some more of the outdoor bathrooms. They'll be putting them at Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Plaza, the Blake Doyle Skate Park, Museum Plaza, behind the Museum of History. The city council is expected to vote on an agreement with UWF to get one of those installed at Museum Plaza either later this month or in early February. Matt Gaetz says he's getting closer to deciding what his next political move could be. The former Panhandle congressman said this week that he's now thinking about running for governor in 2026. He says he has a compelling vision for the state, and he believes he knows how to fix the insurance problem. He says lawmakers shouldn't hand the keys to the state over to the insurance industry. He also said if he runs, he believes he'd be the most pro-consumer candidate on the Republican side. He talked with the Tampa Bay Times. He says he still has to discuss it with his wife. It is 7:34, News Radio 92.3. John's got our traffic on the fives.
That's right. No accidents to report to you right now. It looks like I see a minor backup on I-10. Around eastbound between Pine Forest and Highway 29 through that construction zone. Also, if you're traveling southbound, just south of East 9 Mile Road, going southbound on 29, you're going to see some major congestion delays there also. Other than that, traffic is looking good. I'm John Piggins with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you very much, John. Now our Channel 3 weather.
This is meteorologist Brooke Richardson with your first morning weather update. We are going to be looking at a wet day today, especially as you go through the late morning into the afternoon. High near 60 degrees, low tonight near 36 degrees. Showers move out by tonight, and then as we go into your Saturday, temperatures drop 49 degrees for your high. Saturday night, temperatures dropping near 32. Keeping partly sunny skies around through Sunday with a high near 55 degrees. Stay connected, Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. It is 46 in Pensacola, 48 in Gulf Breeze. We've got 46 also in Milton. Your next news at 8 o'clock, breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Today is Jobs Friday. Economists expect the Bureau of Labor Statistics to report a gain of 155,000 non-farm payrolls, a step down from the surprising 227,000 increase in November. The unemployment rate is forecast to hold steady at 4.2%. Data drops in 10 minutes. List prices for the top 25 prescription drugs covered by Medicare Part D have nearly doubled since they were first brought to market. That's according to a new AARP report. Moreover, that price growth has often exceeded the rate of inflation. The findings highlight the importance of allowing Medicare to negotiate drug prices, according to AARP. How much money should you save for a comfortable retirement? There isn't a magic number for retirement savings. However, setting aside 15% of your annual salary before taxes is a great place to start. Futures are slightly lower ahead of very key jobs data. Wednesday, the Dow Industrials gained 106. That's your money now.
When you were 18, you spent your spring break in Cancun. The party was legendary, and you speak of it often, even though you don't remember half of it. The geeky kid who sat across from you in math class stayed home, practicing calculus. You made fun of her. A lot. That is, until last year, when you owed the IRS a lot of money and called the certified public accountants at Benakis & Associates. And she answered the phone. Who's laughing now? The number crunchers at Benakis & Associates live and breathe accounting and tax preparation. It's practically in their DNA. When you need to know what the heck a Form 656-PPV is, call Benakis & Associates. When you need a QuickBooks Pro advisor, call Benakis & Associates. When you need someone who practices long division for fun, call Benakis & Associates. Now in the historic district on 120 South Alkanes and online at flacpas.com. Benakis & Associates. Leave the numbers to the experts.
Northwest Florida businesses pay an average 20% more for phone service. Data Revolution wants to change that. We are your local, service-focused VoIP provider. Right now, offering a free bill review and free installation for new customers. No matter where your team is, Data Revolution can help. Experience the service and support only a locally owned company can provide. Join the revolution at datarevs.com.
Serving overseas was just the beginning. We might be home from war, but our mission continues in communities all across the country. It's why we're out there in times of peace and crisis, providing meals to the hungry and supplies to the sick. It's why we're giving strength to those who are too weak and bringing resources to those without them. Service doesn't stop when we're done serving. It's what makes us the VFW. Learn more at vfw.org.
Are you looking for the best news in talk radio in Pensacola? Then tune in to News Radio Pensacola. We're your source for the latest news, weather, and traffic, as well as in-depth interviews with local and national leaders. We also have the best talk radio lineup in town, with hosts that are passionate about the issues that matter to you. So whether you're looking to stay informed or just want to hear some great conversation, News Radio Pensacola is the place for you. News Radio Pensacola. Informative, local, dependable.
What do you need, son?
Need to borrow your bow.
Let's drop some lead on those motherfuckers!
Light them up.
They ain't gonna sink this battleship, no way.
I want you to remember that no bastard ever won war by dying for his country. You won it by making the other poor dumb bastard die for his country.
The boy's alive. We are gonna send somebody to find him.
I love the smell of napalm in the morning.
What kind of training, son?
Army training, sir!
Army training, sir!
They drew first blood, not me.
Yes, it is Know Your Tenant Commands, Meet Your Tenant Commands, a feature that we started doing in the summer and have been gradually trying to finish up because there are so many, but, you know, just scheduling and holidays and all of that kind of stuff. But today we have a very special opportunity to talk to Colonel Marshall Strauss Scanlon. He is the commanding officer of the 350th Civil Affairs Command for the Army Reserve located on NAS Pensacola Quarry Station. Colonel Scanlon, welcome to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Howdy. It's great to be here. Thank you.
How did I do on finding appropriate Army movies?
You got some of my favorite movies in there. I really appreciate it. Thank you.
You're so welcome. Absolutely. All right. So I'm going to ask you some very basic questions because I want to make sure that everybody knows what they need to know about what you do. So let's start with the most basic of the questions. This is the one that's going to make me look like a dummy for asking, but I feel like I'd be remiss if I didn't ask it. There's Army and there's Army Reserve. What is the difference and how does that difference affect what you do?
Well, at first, I'd like to say good morning, Pensacola, and thanks for having us on Pensacola News Radio. On behalf of the 350th Civil Affairs Command, Army Reserve Command, it's a great opportunity to get to know our local community and to do some outreach.
Oh, you're so welcome.
Thank you. So there's actually three parts to the Army. There's the active component Army. They're full-time every day. You think about Fort Liberty, Fort Hood, Fort Drum, all the big posts out there. Then you've got the Army National Guard, of which Florida has a long tradition and history and a great National Guard. Each state and territory has their own. And then there's the Army Reserve, the third component. And we are federal force. We belong to the Army, and we don't report to a governor. And we fill in the gaps that the active component, the active duty forces need to deploy at any time, anywhere, any place. We have the majority of transportation, engineering, medical, civil affairs, psychological operations, communications units, signal, cyber, all of those pieces and parts that make the Army work on the battlefield or in any conflict area or disaster relief area.
And so Army Regular is full-time devoted to that. Army National Guard is obviously very part-time, except during call-ups. Army Reserve is kind of a mixture of those things. Am I wrong?
No, it's more like the National Guard. We're part-time, 1 weekend a month, 2 weeks a year minimum.
Okay.
We do have some full-time forces, and this command, the 350th, actually has a significant amount of forces forward deployed every day, either in Central South America or Europe or Asia or actually here in the United States. So it is a mix because of all of the requirements, but more of a reserve, traditional reserve 1 weekend a month, 2 weeks a year.
Got it. Very good. So for people who don't know, what is a civil affairs unit? What do you do?
Well, that's a great question because we always get that. We are combat enablers. We multiply the combat power of the brigades and divisions that are actually in the fight. And we do that, and I jokingly say we do that by taking care of the civilians on the battlefield. And we do really one of two ways. We either get the civilians out of the way and protect them somehow, or we get the combat troops to go around the civilians because they're obviously protected and we're not fighting the civilians. We're only fighting another foreign military. And we do that through gaining influence, performing military governance in areas that we've occupied. We work with the local civilian authorities or reestablished authorities through civil military integration. We set up transitional governance. We help rebuild their infrastructure, and we help to stabilize them after conflicts that we're involved in and during or after conflicts that they're involved in with another third party for our allies and partners. We also can use the skill sets we have to support national and military objectives before combat, such as exercises in Central and South America with our partners in North America. And that's where the 350th is focused. But there are three other civil affairs commands that are focused on Asia, Europe, Africa. And so we're all spread out.
Okay, so you're arranged regionally, which, of course, is how the military itself and the Army in particular is arranged regionally. But it sounds like, and maybe this is a term that is undesirable within your domain, but I'm going to ask anyway because I think it's the term most people would know. It sounds like you are the folks, at least in part, that you are the folks who are involved in the nation-building, nation-rebuilding business. Is that kind of a way to think about it?
That is it. That is our most historic mission, is military governance. And there's some in the government that, don't like that term. Again, this, but it is a treaty obligation under the law of armed conflict, humanitarian law, and that's what we do. And the important thing is we don't want to do it. We want to transition to a host nation governance as quickly as possible and work ourselves out of a job so we get to come home.
So,
at World War II,
Go ahead.
Example is Germany. We did fantastic. Germany and Japan are great examples of nation building, of military governance to transitional governance to host nation governance. We're still allies with them. We're still partners with both countries that we were in a very vicious conflict with.
So I would say that, and again, you tell me if I'm wrong, but America prides itself on being a country that goes to war as a last resort, in as just and restrained a way as we possibly can while attempting to achieve the objective, and then does everything we can during and after the fact to mitigate against civilian casualties and to rebuild or at least to foster the possibility of reestablishing that government as functional, successful, and effective because civil government is necessary for quality of life. We're trying to do the just war and the just post-war, and your job is to make sure that happens. Is that right?
Absolutely.
Perfect.
Absolutely. That's always the goal, and it's always a challenge because we don't get all of the vote. Everyone else involved always gets a vote also.
Yeah. We're talking to Colonel Scantlin from he's a commanding officer of the 350th Civil Affairs Command Army Reserve Unit based at Corry Station. I'll come back to him in just a second. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. If you're traveling I-10 eastbound right around the Highway 29 construction zone area, I'm starting to see some slowdowns if you're going eastbound all the way, if you're headed to I-110. So just be aware of that. Other than that, traffic looks good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. Again, we're talking to Colonel Scanlon, the commanding officer of the 350th Civil Affairs Command. With my background in ethics and teaching philosophy and thinking about just war theory, I love the fact that there's an entire element of the United States military that is designed around navigating around the civilian population, reducing impact on the civilian population. It's not just something that people dropping a bomb decide not to hit a house. It's that you have an entire affairs division designed to either move them out of the way or work around them. We sometimes call the army would be like the tip of the spear. You guys are the tip of the just war spear, maintaining the fact that it is a just warfare the way we conduct it. And I love that. How does that work, though, when you're involved in a situation as we did in, say, Afghanistan or Iraq, where, you know, the military is the civilians, is the military. We saw this in Vietnam, too. How does civil affairs handle something like that?
So that makes it much more difficult when you have a counterinsurgency or an uprising where the civilian population is mixed with those military forces. And they're not what we would call a uniformed force, right? They don't. The Iraqi army was very easy to identify. The Taliban was very easy to identify in the beginning of Afghanistan. And it was a force-on-force, a military force-on-force fight. But as we moved in Iraq, and I can speak from my own experience here, I was at the invasion of Iraq leading the civil affairs team, our most tactical element as a lieutenant. And it was tough to find out who was a civilian and who wasn't. But myself and my team, we focused on the people. We focused on who we were talking to at that time and treated them like I wanted to be treated, dignity, respect. We listened to what their issues were. And, you know, in any war, there's collateral damage. We try to minimize it, but it does happen. And so you may have a water tower that's been destroyed or a house that's been hit with either their military forces or our military forces, and just trying to navigate that and get everything turned back on so they can survive. Food, water, air conditioning, electricity, and then started looking at their governance. It's always a challenge in those kind of environments. You know, and Vietnam was another great example. And what was interesting was that the Vietnamese forces that we were fighting against had fantastic civil affairs operatives and did a really, really good job at influencing the civilian population in a positive way. And they did it better than we did, candidly. And so there's a lot into it.
I was just going to say, that falls under the domain to me of what you sometimes refer to as psychological operations, which has a very sinister sound to it, but is really trying to figure out ways to meet the needs and sort of advertise to and persuade the civilians in an area that we're doing things that are going to be good for them long term, and that, you know, we are the good guys, basically, right?
That is one aspect of psychological operations, is that influence activities on the civilian population. And inside two of the civil affairs commands in the Army Reserve, they each have a psychological operations group, similar to a brigade or an air wing for our Navy people out there, that kind of structure. And they help support all of that. And those forces, those two groups are, again, aligned regionally, so we have some support. But it's not to lie to the civilians or to present a false message. It is, when we're trying to influence the civilians, it's very much factual, fact-based messages to get them to do what we want them to do, either in a pure combat situation or in a governance situation.
I would have to imagine that the skills that make effective civil affairs folks, especially in the psychological operations arena, would translate well to being, I don't know, public affairs officers or PIOs or communication. You know, like, that's a lot of what you do. And, you know, you probably do it better when we're involved in foreign conflicts than some of our own governments do it with the domestic population. Well, we're almost out of time. I hate this. Go ahead.
No. So I was going to say public affairs is actually separate. We keep a buffer between ourselves because our public affairs teams, and I'm not a public affairs officer, so I apologize to all of them out there if I mess this up a little bit, but they're telling the story of the Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines, all of the armed forces and uniformed forces and the government. They're slightly different than what psychological operations does. The public affairs isn't necessarily seeking to influence, it's just to get our message out there, while psychological operations is a combat force that can either do tactical deception against a military force or influence activities against a civilian force. So it's a little bit different, and we keep a buffer there so that our public affairs teams are never seen as trying to negatively influence or deceive anybody.
I got you. Okay, that makes sense. Just because it's a basic question that people might have, you're located on Corey Station. How many people in your command?
Mm-hmm. So in the headquarters, we have about 300 people that are, majority of them are Army Reserve from all over the southeast of the country. And the rest of the forces inside the subordinate forces for the 350th Civil Affairs Command are located in Texas, here in Florida, New York, Fort Liberty, North Carolina, and California. So we're spread out a little bit all over the place.
And roughly, what's how many total that you oversee?
So there's about 1,900.
Oh, okay.
Total soldiers across the entire footprint. With about 300 here at Corey Station.
And is it located on Corey because there's intelligence work, there's language work that goes on there, or is there some other reason that I'm, or is it just because it was a convenient place to be?
So we've been here for over 20 years, and the exact reason we were put here, it would be hard for me to
articulate. Okay.
But, yeah, I can say that it is definitely a convenient location, and we like to group a lot of our forces together. There are a lot of things here that Pensacola has that are convenient and good for us. It's a good location. It's central on the Gulf Coast. We have a lot of military support from the Navy, the Air Force, the Marines. The Corey Station is secured, so we can have some of our equipment in our motor pool and is inside another fence. And it just gives us opportunities that we may not have if we were just in a city somewhere else.
Well, it's such a...
We've been here for over 20 years.
Yeah, and by the way, I love the symbol that you guys have. Your logo is not the right word. Your patch, essentially, that has a sword and an olive branch, and it has UWF colors, which I don't think was intentional, but it works out well for our community. I like it. But yeah, I think that the average person has no idea that there's a 300 to 11 to 1200, 1900 person army command based at Naval Air Station Pensacola, Corps Station. So that's why I wanted to have you on. And your job is to make sure that we do warfare right, that we do warfare generously, helpfully, productively, winning hearts and minds and rebuilding nations after the fact. It's amazing work. You were going to say something, so we're almost complete out of time, but you were going to say, go ahead.
Yeah, so I just want to say, that what it takes to be a civil affairs soldier is everything that you see around you. We need communication specialists. We need business people. We need medical. We need legal. We need all of those pieces and parts. And I would really encourage anybody who's listening that wants to serve their community, serve their nation, and make a difference to look us up online. If you Google 350th CA Command, we'll pop up. Local recruiters will recruit for us. But there's always another opportunity for you to give back. And then also we have some great benefits for those that do decide to sign up and join the Army Reserve.
I love it. If I weren't 53, I would ask you if you needed a philosopher-turned-talk show host, but I won't put you on the spot. Colonel Marshall Sandlin, he is the commanding officer of the 350th Civil Affairs Command, Army Reserve, here at NAS Pensacola on board Corey Station. Colonel, thank you for the time. Thank you for what you do, and thank you for sharing your identity and mission with our listeners. I really appreciate it.
Oh, it was my pleasure, and I look forward to speaking to you again in the future.
Absolutely.
Have a great day.
Absolutely. John Pickens has traffic for us. John?
That's right. No accidents to let you know about, but if you're on I-10 eastbound between Pine Forest and Highway 29, and even past that, if you're headed eastbound on 10 to I-110, we're seeing some major congestion delays through that construction zone. Other than that, traffic looks good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Whether you want to start your education or advance your career, Pensacola State College is the place for you. Join the 92% of PSC students who graduate loan-free and select from over 100 programs, ranging from career certificates to baccalaureate degrees. In addition, Pensacola State has over 300 scholarships to choose from, including cybersecurity. Register today for spring semester. Go to PensacolaState.edu. That's PensacolaState.edu to learn more.
Ladies, are you looking to make a big difference in the new year? I'm Martha Holden, president of Impact 100 Pensacola Bay Area, a woman's philanthropic group that has awarded over $17 million to nonprofit organizations in our community. Women 18 and older are invited to upcoming meet and mingle events with March 1st as our membership deadline. For details, check us out on Facebook or visit impact100pensacola.org.
When you listen to News Radio 92.3 on Sundays, you get Christian Outlook at 7, Ask the Preacher at 8, Town Hall Review, Fox News Sundays a Weekend, Tech It Out, and Gun Talk at 8.
Discover the blockbuster difference.
How many hours of your life did you spend with friends debating, or girl, or boy, whichever, you know, debating which movie or three you were going to get that night at Blockbuster Video? White and blue boxes, cover box separate. 759 News Radio 92.3.
Please be kind and rewind.
Please be kind and rewind. That's right. Yours truly and your mayor worked at Blockbuster a long time. Didn't DC say he worked there? I think that's true. Maybe I'm wrong.